He got a phone call from some other people we know on the East Coast who got a report from someone that they met that came from this area that told him, oh, no, Pastor Jenkins died a little while ago. But I was glad to report to him that I'm still kicking. I'm still alive and well. You know, but, you know, the enemy would love to take us out, you know, but you know what? How many of us are willing to go down without a fight? I don't see no hands. What's wrong? Willing to go down without a fight? That means you're ready to fight, amen, for who you are in God, first and foremost. Amen. Fight, amen, and stand for what you believe and you know to be true. See, you might have figured it out already. God didn't change my message. I came all prepared, you know, just had all my notes and everything lined up and ready to go for part two, amen, of the new commandment. We'll get to that later. Amen. But what he's doing this morning, he's saying something totally different. I ain't got a whole lot of time to go there, but he wants us to understand and recognize that it's about him. And he has a plan, and he has a way, and he has a purpose. Amen. And he ordained that purpose all the way back in the very beginning. His plan. Who can tell me, amen, what was the most significant, one of the most significant things God did on the sixth day? I said the sixth day. He got his head in the tablet. Amen. On the sixth day, he created man. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. That means you and I. Amen. And he, after he created man, amen, he began to look and he had man to name all the animals, amen, and all the birds and all the, but after he did all that, he said he looked and he saw no one suitable. There was no other creature suitable for man. So he put Adam in a deep sleep. And he took the rib from his side and he created woman. That's right. And I often look at it like, whoa, man. You know, because God did a great thing when he made our helpmates. Amen. And he, at that point, put them together. And Adam looked at Eve and he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And the two became one. God ordained marriage. And the enemy hates marriage. Because it represents God's relationship with the church. Amen. Go with me to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I'm not going to be long this morning, but just some points, I mean, we want to go over. I mean, we look at the onslaught that's coming against, and not just in our family, but we see the multitude of marriages that are going through so much. To, you know, Pastor Lynn and I, we talk to, you know, people all the time, and we know people in ministry, even here in this city, that have been together for 20, almost 30 years, and now all of a sudden, their marriage is falling apart. And this one is stepping out, or that one is stepping out. And you know, it's a spirit that's going through our land. Amen. And if we don't recognize it and be ready to fight it, amen, he will have his way. But in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, he gives us an outline of how he wants us to conduct ourselves. There's a lot of scriptures, but I ain't got time to go through all that. But amen. But we just want to touch on a few pointers. Is that all right? Say again. Children, oh, we got 20 minutes. So, no, it's, I'm sorry. We're going to have to cancel them out today. Amen. Because God's doing something different. Amen. But in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, I'm going to start at verse number 19. Is that all right? No, let's go back to the 17th verse. He said, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Y'all hear what that says? Yeah, 5 and 17 in Ephesians. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, giving thanks always in all things. That means in the good and the bad. Amen? Because we know, amen, life has ups and downs. But then he goes on, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another. There's submission, amen. But why we do it? We do it in the fear of God, not in the fear of man. Right? But then he goes into a discourse here, and he gives us a model, amen, of what the marriage represents. But he starts it off, amen, by speaking unto the wives. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Amen? See, that should make it a little bit easier, because submission is, it can be challenging, especially, you know, when we got all these issues going on between us. Amen. But see, I'm not doing it as unto him. I'm doing it as an obedience unto God. And he said, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. See, now he said, now the husband's the head of the wife, but he didn't say on his own terms. But he said, he compared the husband's position with Christ's position, but look what he said. He's the savior of the body. Now see, don't get nervous, ladies, because, you know, just because he said he's the head don't mean he got it easy. In fact, he's got more responsibility. Amen? Because now he's dealing with God's daughter. And sometimes we don't recognize that she's not just your wife, she's God's daughter. Amen. Amen. And then look at verse 24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to her own husband in some things. Is that what it said? It said, when she want to. I'm trying to help us. He said, in everything. Amen. Amen. So no, he's laying some ground rules here for us as husbands and wives. But he starts dealing with the wife, but wait till we get to the husband. So he's letting the wives know, amen, that the instruction to a wife, whether you're married or you want to be married or you've been married, this is how God wants it to operate. Okay? Being subject unto him as unto God. So that pushes you back to consider your relationship with God. Because you can only do that out of a right relationship with God. And when the relationship with God is not where it's supposed to be, you sure enough ain't going to submit to that man. Amen. You're not going to be under that kind of authority. Amen. Right? Amen. But he said in every, to let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Watch out now. Now look what he says to the husbands in verse 25. Husbands. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. Other words, be willing to lay down your life for your wife. See, what did Jesus withhold from us? Nothing. Men. Amen. What did Jesus do? He gave his best and he gave his all, amen, for the church. Amen. And see, sometimes we as men, you know, we can get the big head. Right. I'm the head of this house. I'm in charge. But I say go. Now, that ain't how Jesus rolled. Right, he operated in love. He understood, amen, his position. Amen. He couldn't force anybody to follow him, but the way he treated people made them want to follow him. made them want to submit to him, made them want to desire him. Is that how we operate as men? Come on, somebody. So you wonder how the enemy gets in the church is because, and in the marriage rather, is because we don't know really how to function in marriage. We come from the world's perspective, amen, and we want to operate according to how mama or daddy did it, or how our friend or our boss or our girlfriend is doing it, but we got to get back to what the word of God says about marriage. We got to get back to where, you know, he gives us instruction that works. And when we follow his instruction, I guarantee you, you will have 100% success in your marital relationship. But when we step outside of God's plan, anything goes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When we step outside of God's plan, it's all about you. And it's not about what he said and how he wants it to be. Amen? Help us, Lord. Let's go on with verse 26. He said, now, I'm going to read 25. Husbands, love your wives. Now, wait a minute, let me back up just a minute. Where did he tell the wife to love the husband? Let's back. I don't want y'all to miss that now. He said, wives, submit. Right? He said, be subject to. So submission is a form of honor, respect, reverence. And you can look at any survey on marriage to find out the number one thing a man wants in his marriage is respect. That comes before sex. Respect. And when you take that away, you've already damaged the marriage. But he tells the husband to love. And when the same surveys you begin to look at, you'll see that the number one thing a woman is looking for is security. And if you love her, you'll make her feel secure. In your relationship, financially, emotionally, spiritually, all those things, you'll bring that security that she desires, so she's now wondering where you at and what you're doing. That brings a whole lot of insecurity. I'm trying to help us this morning. See, we got to recognize, amen, we have a formula. Amen. If we would just follow the formula that he's given us in the word, we will be strengthened, amen, and our children will have a model to follow because we've modeled it before them. How many of us, amen, I know in the early days, I wasn't a very good role model as a husband, as a father. But it took the word of God to make a difference in my life. And I could point at all the things she wasn't doing, and she could point at all the things that I wasn't doing, and God wasn't getting no glory out of none of it. And we can say, I'm doing this cause. Well, when you start doing this cause. Hello? When we begin to operate in the word of God because he said so. He's greater than your husband. He's greater than your wife. He's greater than both of us. If we would just get that in alignment, because all our other excuses are not going to fly when we stand before God. So we begin to look at it, amen. He said, you know, that he might sanctify it. Now he's still talking to the husbands, amen, and comparing how we should be treating our wives, amen. But he said they are to love our wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In other words, you got some work to do, man. See, God didn't come to the church and say, get your act together. He came to cultivate. He came to help us. He came to direct us. Amen. He gave us and led us. He loved us into it. See, if we're going to lead our households in a way that God wants us to lead in marriage, we got to follow his model. We can't demand nothing. We need to be the example of everything. Yeah, he puts a whole lot of weight on the man. Amen. And I tell the men, I've been telling the men for years in our ministry, men's ministry, amen, whatever's going on in the house, it all comes back to you. Sometimes that's uncomfortable. Amen. But that's the bottom line. Why? Because he gave you the authority. He put you in position. Amen. So if you don't like what you're getting, you better think about what you're giving. You better ask yourself, how did we get here? And we can't look at the wife, and we can't look at the children. We got to begin with ourselves. And if we will be honest with ourselves, amen, we know we got some work to do. And we can't just say, well, I've done all now. We got to continue to do the work. You know, Pastor Linda been married for 43 years. Amen. April will be 44. I'm amen. Looking for 45. Woo. We're going to do something big on 45. The Lord, delay is coming. Amen. But even after all those years, I still got to do the work. Amen. Hello? Amen. Am I talking to anybody? You know, well, y'all over the hump. You're over 20 years. You should know. No, I can't ever say I know her so well that I don't have to work. Because why? As we grow, as we change, we evolve. Our likes and dislikes change. Amen. All those. So you got to continue to do the work. She ain't the same girl I married 40-something years ago. She ain't the same one I was hanging with 20 years ago. And see, I got to recognize that, and I'm not the same man either. Praise God. I think we get better with age if we just get it right. Amen. But if we would just understand that we have a role to play. Now, I want us to see here in verse 28. He says, so ought the man to love his, men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, if I love myself, I ain't going to do nothing to hurt me. Right? I'm going to be good to me. Amen. And see, he said, I should love her like I love myself. Amen. In other words, I'm going to take care of her as good or better. Then I take care of myself. Now, I'm going somewhere with this because I want us to understand that if we would just do our role, if we would just do our part, stop trying to tell him or her what to do. If you would just do your part, if you would just get in alignment with God and stop trying to get them in alignment with you, things would begin to change. Because when you make her feel secure, when you begin to do what you're supposed to do, she don't have no problem loving you. You can't demand it. You got to earn it. See, most of us, when we first got married, it was more lust than love. And then we said the love wear off. I fell in love. I fell out of love. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. Amen. Love is a choice. And we need to recognize that. It's an action word. It's something you do. It's not something you always feel. I'm talking to men and women. But if we say we love her, amen, then we're going to have some action to follow. Amen. When we say we love him, we're going to have some action to follow. But if I would just do my part, if I would just continue to do what the word of God says and put her first and love her right, amen, and do what I'm supposed to do to love her, she don't have no problem coming alongside and being submissive. She don't have no problem with coming alongside unless she just doesn't let the devil just go get all up in her heart. But see, we got to understand something here. Amen. It's the same thing. When you love her right, she don't have no problem following you. And when you show the right respect and honor unto your husband, he don't have no problem loving you. See, so it's the law of reciprocity. God knows that if she is honoring me and she's respecting me, then I ain't got no, I'm going to love her because why? Not just because she's the children, the mother of my children. No, we was together before that happened. But I'm going to love her because she is meeting my number one need in this natural, which is to be honored and respected. How many men go to work, amen, they come and they're in positions at work where they're respected and they're honored, amen, and people do and they listen and they follow, and then they come home to a wife that denigrates them and destroys them and disrespects them. On the other side, how many women, they go to work, amen, and they got everybody tell them how great they are, amen, and you know, there's always somebody on the job trying to get in her ear. And then she come home to a husband that don't know love and just wants to be served. Just wants her to be subservient and obedient. And see how we mess it all up? We get it all out of alignment, amen, instead of getting back to what the Word of God teaches us and tells us. We got to get it right, people. Because I can't say that help me, Lord, that I'm right with God if I can't get this primary relationship right. Because our marriages as Christians should reflect that relationship between Christ and his church who gave himself for us. Now, I know there's someone saying, well, what if I've done all this stuff, I'm doing everything you're talking about, and it still ain't working? Keep doing it.
That's right.
Keep doing it. Because in Corinthians, I got my time is almost up, but he lets us know, how do you know that by your chaste conversation, oh wife or husband, that you won't say that way, but you just got to keep doing the Word of God for two reasons. You don't know that how much is working and how when the breakthrough going to come. And number two, you need to keep doing it out of obedience to the Word of God. Because if you don't, now you in trouble too. And you can't blame that on them. She can't stop you from loving her. He can't stop you from respecting him.
Right. Amen. Thank you, God.
What man in here got to the place where he said, woman, you give me too much respect. You honor me too much. Or what woman in here said, you just show me too much love. Quit. Leave me alone. It don't work that way.
Amen.
It's always a deficit. Not a surplus, but a deficit that's operating, amen, and we wonder, why are we struggling? It's amazing, you see, we look at couples that are courting, amen, and they don't have too much problem with these attributes for the most part. They're all gushy and loving and respecting. And as soon as they get married, I didn't say after a while after. I said as soon as they get married. Because we've seen it. As soon as they get married, things begin to crumble. Why? Because the pursuit is over. And now it turns into married singles. And it's all about me. I got you. I got him. I got her. Now I'm ready to receive what I wanted out of this whole thing. We go into it with the wrong mindset. We got to get it right. We got to line it up according to the will and the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Look what he says. I'm almost done here. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what? One flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. We are his church. And if we would learn to function and operate as the church, see, the enemy wouldn't have no way to come in. Amen. He would have no way. It's I see how he says it's a great mystery. It shouldn't be mysterious to us on how God wants us to operate and how God wants us to function. Jesus said, I've told you, amen, because I've called you friends and I've told you everything the Father's doing. He's given us a roadmap, amen. And there's so many places in Scripture that we could go, amen, that reinforces how he wants us to operate in our marital relationships. So now we're example, amen, to the world. We're an example to our children. We're example one to another, amen. We're standing and lifting him up, and we're strengthening the body of Christ, amen, which is designed now to be able to strengthen the community. But when we don't get it right, if he can destroy marriage, why do you think the enemy wants to destroy the definition of marriage? Someone said, don't go down that road. No. Marriage is between one man and one woman, according to the word of God. I don't care how many laws they pass, how many documents they edit, it will always be between one man and one woman. Anything apart from that does not line up with the word of God. It might line up with the word of man, but it doesn't line up with the word of God. And the Bible tells me, let God be true and every man a lie. It's better to obey God than man. So when we even hear about these same-sex marriages, the courts might recognize that. But that's an abomination to God. I'll say it again, that's an abomination to God, according to his word. And that's not because we're hating on nobody. That's like saying lying and stealing is okay. No, it's not. It's an abomination unto God. All sin. You see, and when we step outside of the roles that God has given us as man and wife, when I start dishonoring and disrespecting my wife, I'm stepping into sin.
Amen. Come on now.
When you start dishonoring and disrespecting your husband, you're stepping into sin. And we can wave our hands and we can do all the stuff we want, but we got to get back to the basics of the relationship that God has ordained for all of us. And as Pastor Linda said earlier, amen, you know, and I know it's in the house, it's been in the house, amen, that, you know, divorce, I'm just done, I'm out. Okay? God hates divorce. The word says so in those very terms. He hates divorce. Because of the issues that it introduces. It's not his plan. It's not his purpose. He didn't say he hates the divorcee. He didn't say divorce is the unpardonable sin. Okay? But he still hates it. So why would we even engage in something that our Father hates when he's given us the tools, amen, to correct our issues, to correct our problems. You know how they say in some states they can just simply say irreconcilable differences on a divorce decree. But when we go to the word of God, it decrees that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So there's nothing irreconcilable according to God. It's just as he told Moses, he gave him the right to divorce. Moses, not God. He gave him the right to divorce because of the hardness of their heart. In other words, because of the unforgiving hearts. And that's a whole other area that I don't have time this morning to go. Unforgiving hearts, amen. And the Bible says, if you don't forgive man, God ain't going to forgive you. I can just give you, that's right. That's what the word. So we got to really consider where we stand with the word of God. We got to stand and fight. Husband,